So we're starting today with Siman Resh Mem Vav. The halachot of having your animal rest on Shabbat. So we had talked about it previously, about this odd concept of having your kelim, having your utensils rest on Shabbat. We don't have such an idea. It's something that Beit Shammai brought down in the Gemara. We don't follow this. You can, you know, have your food cooking in your pots, not an issue. However, your animals is a whole other story. Animals, so you, the women in your house, the kids in your house, your slaves, and your animals all have mitzvah of keeping Shabbat. Now, obviously, animals are not, you know, doing kiddush and going to Beit Knesset. So what does it mean? It means that it's asur for them to do melacha on Shabbat. So everybody is commanded to have their animal rest on Shabbat. So if you rented your animal to a non-Jew, not something, well, it could come up, as Mana said, we're not really plowing. But let's say you have a racehorse and you're studying your racehorse. You're supposed to make up that if he's renting your horse, he's got to return it before Shabbat. So if you end up in the situation that you can't get it back, you're either supposed to mafgir it, or you're supposed to kone it to the other guy. So this is interesting. Motzi Shabbat, you can go back and get your animal, and you're not required to inform the non-Jew that you did this whole thing of being konanim or being mafgir the animal to him. You have to say it, but you don't have to tell the goy. So we had talked about previously giving a non-Jew, if you're going to have a non-Jew working for you on Shabbat, that you do this thing, the schar havla, right? You swallow up their pay and pay for the rest of the week. So you can't do that with your animal. Your animal has mitzvah to rest on Shabbat. It's not the same thing as a non-Jew. A non-Jew doesn't have a din Shabbat. Now you're going to have work for you, so fine, you have this trick that enables you to work for him to work for you. That's not what's going on with the animal. The animal actually has mitzvah to rest on Shabbat. Halacha bet. Toshav lechutzarat sheyesh lo behema be'eretz Yisrael mutar lo lizkir me'erev Shabbat lenochri al manat shemishba b'moshevat shel eretz Yisrael shehu adayin Shabbat lechutz la'aretz. So somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, but he has a behema in Eretz Yisrael, he can rent that animal Erev Shabbat to the non-Jew, just that he should also use it Motzi Shabbat of Chutz La'aretz, of Eretz Yisrael. So you have, so you do have this thing that Shabbat is in whatever time zone you're supposed to be in. So he's talking about the fact that if you have something that's in another jurisdiction, and it's already Shabbat there, like, Niagardin, you're really supposed to be keeping Shabbat in both places, as it were. But he's giving this hatter that when it's Shabbat for this animal, it's not Shabbat for you, it can work. Okay. Little unusual. Gimel. Moshe Nochri Shebikesh Amishkanato Ayudi Et Susor Chovala V'Shabbat Ve'en Yechol Sarev Lo Meshumeva Yeshom Nishim Yiknalo Et Behem And Arab Shabbat Emze Yisrael Meshum Shvita Behemto Ve'yesh Chokim. So here's a case. What's working for an animal? So, classic case is a horse. What does a horse do? Horse transports people. And this non-Jew wants to ride your horse on Shabbat. And you can't just push the guy off because he's going to be like, why aren't you renting this horse to me? So then there is room to be mekel that if you actually do a kinyan Arab Shabbat, then the horse will be treated as his. But some don't like this. So when we're talking about doing malacha, so this is an interesting case because it's not an issur d'oraita to ride a horse. Why don't we ride a horse on Shabbat? Because I know you've wanted to do that. The concern is that in order to get the horse to move, you'll rip a branch off of a tree to make a switch, to give it a patch. And that's the issue. And, huh? Well, if you've dealt with a horse, you know. So, depending on the type and breed of horse, some of them can be incredibly stubborn. This whole thing now that they're domesticating Mustangs. So you can tell a Mustang from a regular domesticated horse, because a regular domesticated horse will put its head down to you, whereas a Mustang will not drop its head. It will not show submission, even if it's broken. So, yeah, they're no joke. So, yeah, you want it to go, it doesn't want to go. You got to show it who's boss. Yeah, you don't really have horses around here, but you do have plenty of places with horses. Not just farming, but also more elitist circles, you know. Horse racing is a big deal. So, mitzvah shvita behemto noheget v'malach rahotza'a b'emrush rabim b'em b'karmelit ulachin kol sheyesh ala behemah dvara hanido mishum ma'asui asor lahotzit gam l'karmelit kol sheyesh ala rabim shelanu shaladat arbeh migdolei poskim. Okay, so there's a number of things going on here. So one of the most common melachot is hotzah, taking something out on Shabbat. So there are certain things, and maybe we'll see them in the halacha, but they're discussed in the Gemara and brought down in the Mishnah, things that are considered not to be burdens for an animal to wear, such a horse, things that are not considered to be burdens for them. Classic burden of a horse is going to be a saddle, right? The saddle is not there for its benefit. It's clearly there for the rider. On the other extreme is a horseshoe, right? It's nailed into their foot. You have no obligation to, you know, take the shoes off your horse every Arab Shabbat. But what he's saying is that this malacha exists both in a Rishit Rabim and a Carmelite, which is an area that is rabbinically treated like a Rishit Rabim, even though it's not. And what he's saying, which is a big argument, is do we have an actual public thoroughfare of Bizman Hazeh? So a lot of Ashkenazi poskim base these mega errors off the fact that we don't really have one Bizman Hazeh. Rav Avadia was very much of the opinion that we do, and it's not nearly as hard to end up with one as it is in with Ashkenazi poskim, and therefore there are areas. Let's take, for example, Ocean Parkway. Ocean Parkway is generally considered to be a real Rashid or Rabim, right? It's definitely 16 Amot across, and it definitely cuts across all of Brooklyn. So the whole question is, you know, do 600,000 people go through there in one day? I think 600,000 people actually do. So the question is, if we do get to Eruvin, I don't know that we will. Also, Rav Avadia's treatment is very short because he doesn't really like modern Eruvin. He really, you know, these things that we rely upon, he's not a big fan of them at all. You know, set up something between you and your neighbor is fine, but turning an entire town into an Eruv, it's not so pashut Svetadin can do that at all. Depending on the area, there are certain issues that come up that can make it very complicated. Happens to be we live in an area that is rather conducive because it's mostly surrounded by water and we have physical fences encasing where we live. That is not the case with most Eruvin. Most Eruvin, they're basically throwing up a string saying, here's the Jew area, here's the not Jew area. You know, maybe later, depending on what comes up, we can get a little more into those halachot. Very, very complicated. Okay, so halacha, hey. Mitzvah shmita b'am to noege gam b'mish yikibel alav shabbat uveyod yom mishum tosefet mechol ala kodesh v'rorach shumat atzmo. Another din that we have that comes up is that there's a mitzvah to add on to Shabbat, both at the beginning and the end. You're not supposed to kick Shabbat out as quickly as possible. You're not supposed to slide into Shabbat as, you know, close to Shkia as possible. And what he's saying is that applies to your animal as much as to you as well. You should get off your high horse, you know, before Shabbat, way before Shabbat, possible. Yes, so go to Vav now. Yes, umrim she'im abehema yotze me'atzma. Afilu yesh aleha masa ein tzrich limnoa kivan she'en Yisrael ninyo memena. Yes, holkim umrim she'tzerich. So, obviously, the difference between a kli, which we talked about, and an animal, is that an animal has a mind of its own. So let's say, and you can have animals do things like this. Goats are very well known for engaging in this type of behavior. They're very playful. They'll get into things. And let's say they dig around and they find something. They, you know, they get something on their horn. And they're not supposed to go out with it. What Rav Avadia is saying is that Mikra Din, you should try to make sure that that animal does not have whatever it is on it. You know, I think the case of a horse, clearly you should take it off, and you know, if possible, before Shabbat. But what he's saying is, even if the animal is doing it on its own, and that's the only case I can really think of is something like a goat putting a masa on itself, or a dog. You know, a dog can end up like they like a particular, you know, collar or something like that, and they decide to, you know, stick their head in it. You're not allowed to let it go out. like that. Zion. Huh? So yeah, clearly, or I shouldn't say clearly, but I would think, I guess we'll get into it more, is that just like the Eruv works for you, it should also work for your animal. That Sfarad dictates that would be correct. But again, you know, you end up in weird situations. When we had a dog, we went to my cousins in Brooklyn, and they basically only had the Eruv between, you know, my cousin's property and their next door neighbor, and they had like one little strip of grass, and we had to just walk back and forth on that one little strip of grass because we couldn't just walk the dog, because you can't do that in Brooklyn, because despite what some people may think, there's no Eruv in Brooklyn. There is an Eruv in Brooklyn. It's just, most poskim say it's pasul, and you should use it. The only nafkamina is if you're putting up one of these mini eruvin, whether or not you would make a bracha on it. I have heard that the fact that this Brooklyn eruv exists is enough that you wouldn't make a bracha if you made one of these mini eruvin. You should certainly not rely on the Brooklyn eruv, but if you're going to make your own, you might not have to make a beracha as posik.
So you're only being between homes? Between the houses?
Yeah, so what you'll see a lot in Brooklyn. You walk past people's houses, you'll see like two random sticks and a wire. And like, this looks strange, especially, you know, somebody's property is worth $1.5 million and they're sticking this ghetto piece of wood. I'm like, what are they doing? And the answer is they're making an eruv just between the two houses. And, you know, you could, realistically speaking, probably do it block by block, you know, in Brooklyn. And as long as you don't leave your block, you're probably fine. But the second you're crossing a street, you're in Brooklyn, you're running into a world of problems. You know, obviously in other areas.
So if you have a baby carriage, they don't come out.
Not supposed to. Not supposed to. But, you know, take for example, you know, I've been to many smaller communities. Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Memphis, you know, just a couple rattling off my head, that you have these eruv that, you know, it's a small, close-knit community, and like, there's no real thoroughfares going through. So, yeah, it doesn't feel like, you go to Brooklyn, you feel like you're in the middle of a busy area. You go to like a Jewish neighborhood in one of these, you know, small towns. You feel like you're walking around the block, you know, and that is completely different. Yeah, completely different atmosphere. You know, and the Jewish community really in those places lives very packedly together. They're not spread all over the city. You know, they're not, there's not this like five town scope creep where they're just, you know, expanding to every single house they can. You know, so you kind of understand the eruv much more in a place like that. Whereas, you know, there's certain places, you know, within the Jewverse where it just, it seems like you're playing a game with Shabbat.
They say over here, the Doxy Park doesn't have an eruv.
The what? Well, the park is a different issue. The park is a different issue because there's something, why am I blanking on the, a karpef. So a karpef is basically an uninhabited area. So the park, at a certain point, can't be within the eruv because you go out any further, there's no houses, right? And therefore, you have these open fields with no houses. You can't include that as part of the eruv. In theory, if somebody were to by a house, like right by the water, it would potentially expand the Eruv, and you could play over there. Yeah, it's not considered to be inhabited space. That's what's going on with the park.
Not this park. The park is okay.
Up to a certain point. So the Eruv wire, you'll see it. So if you picture the fence going around the playground,
yeah,
and the main entrance to get into there,
right?
So you'll see the wire on like the far side of that entrance. You'll actually see the physical Eruv right there, and you can follow it all the way to the fence, past the field. So you can't go to the water.
Okay.
You have to check your pocket. You can go to the water. You just have to check your pockets. Make sure you're not carrying anything. But the base. I think all the baseball fields are outside the Eruv. Either all of them or just that one as you're first coming in.
In other words,
might be inside.
Basketball for sure you can't play over there.
No? No, you cannot. The handball courts you can't. The tennis courts you can't. The far fields you can't. Ignoring some of the other issues with going to the pool, you couldn't go to the pool area. Bring anything over there.
What are we here? The Doxy Park. Someone told me that you can't arrive.
Yeah, I don't think you can. You can walk there. You just can't walk there with stuff.
Yeah, you can leave it outside. Everything.
Yeah, so you just leave it outside. So, when I visit my cousins in Bethel, so they have a wine press that's like 2,000 years old, but it's outside the settlement. Okay, so
wine press?
Yeah, like a real old school wine press, that our ancestors used thousands of years ago. So it's really cool. You want to go see it, but it's outside the fence. So, in Judea Samaria, many of the towns are fenced in. Physical fence in the case of a place like Beit El, have electrified fence, but they do let you leave. So if you go outside, you have to take your stuff and walk around. But then you start getting into Tehumen, which is a whole different set of halakha. Zion. Ha'ikar ledina she yesh isor shvita behem togam bebehema shetfudim ba Yehudi v'akum. So let's say you had a business. Let's say you had a racehorse and you owned it with a non-Jew. He's saying that it should rest on Shabbat. So essentially, a Jew who's actually observing halacha could not own a horse that was in any of the Triple Crown. All the Triple Crowns are on Shabbat. My kids are very upset. They want to go. But yeah, that's the Belmont, the Preakness, and the Kentucky Derby. They're all on Shabbat. And obviously very lucrative and whatever it is, It's a whole thing. And it is like one of the few businesses that's like really like even Bizman Azah like animal intensive. Horse racing, and it's really trashy redneck brother dog racing. It's still a lot of dog racing going on. And then even worse, you have bullfighting and cockfights, and those are just stam aser. You can't do bullfighting. You can't do cockfights. That's Tzar Balachayim.
When they're saying that you can have your animal work for you, they mean like work that brings you what? Parnasa? It's not if your animal fetches you something. It's not working for you.
Well, it depends. Right? Let's say it's outside the Erev.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can't tell your dog, like, let's say, like,
the ball goes outside the Erev. If it's playing catch, let's say, I don't know.
Right. You can't play catch. But, you know, if you got a dog that really knows what they're doing, you know, one of these very well-trained dogs, let's say you live in a place where there's no Eruv, and you get your paper delivered on Shabbat, you can't have the dog go bring in your paper. You know, I've always wanted a monkey. Yeah, I want a monkey. And you know, they have these monkeys, the capuchin monkeys, which are the ones that you always see in the movies. They basically have the seichel of that a 9-year-old. You can train them to, like, dial the phone for you and call 911. You can have them do a whole bunch of menial tasks around the house. So theoretically, you know, if you wanted a fresh egg cooked on Shabbat, you know, the monkey could do it. But it'd be awesome.
Everyone switched to those today.
We'll just squeeze in
dinners in White House.
We'll squeeze in one last one. Het gam b'yom tov adam tzave al shvita v'yom tov v'hodin v'zev yom tov sheni shogoliot. So this isur to use an animal comes up not just on Shabbat, also Yom Tov and even Yom Tov Sheni. Shel Goliot. So there's not going to be any exceptions. This is one of those areas where Yom Tov is different. Although, interestingly enough, since Hotza'ah is not a malacha on Yom Tov, you couldn't have the animal. You know, you have your dog go bring in the paper, right? Because it's not a malacha. Right? The animal's Shabbat Isur is equivalent to the person's, not worse. Right? We're not more machmir with animals. It's the same level. So, it's a,